from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor for you to be here today, and what an honor for us to have you here. Wow, it is a weird day. Welcome, everybody. By the way, our telephone number for you to call in today, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Want to say hello to all of you listening to us by radio and also watching us on our social media platforms and YouTube and Rumble. And apparently, we have royalty in the United States. King Charles and Queen Camilla showing up on American soil yesterday, and tonight we're feeding them a big dinner at the White House. So there you go. I just have one question. Are the people protesting no kings? We literally have a king in the White House right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just wondering, has anybody upset all the Democrats, all of the George Soros little cronies and lackeys? Are they actually marching in the streets of Washington, D.C., now that we have an actual king in the White House, King Charles? And for that matter, what's the guy doing over here in the first place? The White House says it's all about the 250th anniversary of America. Pardon me, but isn't the whole reason we're having a birthday celebration because we actually whipped their derrieres? That's right. We sent the redcoats right back across the big pond. So again, I'm just wondering, as a red-blooded American patriot, why we even invited those folks over here in the first place. And I've got nothing against the British at all. I mean, they do have lousy food, but aside from that, and well, they've got the dental problem, and aside from that, the little incestuous there and inside the royal family. But aside from that, I got no beef with them. But again, I'm just not understanding why we're rolling out the red carpet for a nation that actually, we fought two wars over. I'm just curious. Nevertheless, King Charles and Queen Camilla are here in the United States. Okay, enough of that, Dylan. What the heck? Dylan, we're not going to be able to get through the show. Every time I say King Charles, we don't have to play. I know they sent all the talk radio hosts a protocol sheet.
Yes, they did. It is protocol, and they are royalty, so we do have to play the trumpet.
Jeez, Lou.
They require the trumpets.
We're trying to figure out what's for supper. You know, yesterday they took this is terrible, and I feel really bad about this. But we always do our best on this program to bring you the very latest authentic information, right? Because there's so much fake news out there. Fake news all over the place. Say it again, fake news. So we do our best to try and bring you factual information. And so yesterday, Dylan, I don't know if you were aware of this, but the White House officially has a beehive, and there's a lot of buzz over the beehive. And so anyway, it looks just like the White House, and they've got I'm sure somebody does the, what do they call it, beehivery? I don't know what they call it, but the beekeeper. And I'm sure that somebody listening is a beekeeper, and they're going to call in and fill us in on all of this stuff because I'm going to get it all wrong. But anyway, they use smoke, and the smoke is coming out of the White House. And I thought, oh, they're like reenacting what it was like when Joe Biden was there and everybody was smoking marijuana. But no, that's not what it is. It's something about the smoke making the bees docile. Is it marijuana smoke? Is that what it is? And the bees are just chilling? But then they get the munchies, and the next thing you know, everybody's getting stung. So anyway, Dylan, I don't know if you saw this, but they had King Charles and Queen Camilla out there, and they're getting the tour of the beehive. And I noticed, oh my gosh, I think King Charles he was bitten by the bees.
Oh, no.
And I only noticed that because his fingers, they look like little pork sausages. I mean, you know, and that's what happens. You know, you swell up when you get stung by a bee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I reached out to the White House, and I said, hey, can you confirm, did any of the presidential bees implant their stinger in Prince and King Charles? And they said, well, why would you say that, Starnes? And I said, well, the guy's fingers, I mean, they're swollen up. It looks incredibly painful. And they said, no, that's how his fingers normally look. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's my bad.
Our bees would never sting anyone.
No. The American bees. Yeah, well, the American bees, they're not too fond of the British either.
No. But I understand your confusion of how that could be a possibility there.
Yes. It's a reasonable thing. So, again, we wanted to – so, officially, for the record, King Charles was not stung. The American bees did not penetrate the King of England. Yeah, it's going to be a long show today. A long show. So, well, look, I don't know. I don't hate the British. I've seen Downton Abbey. I got no problem with that. And Charles Dickens. Yeah, I've read Dickens. Please, sir, may I have some more gruel? And I love Monty Python. I mean, who doesn't love Monty Python, for crying out loud? But I don't get it. And especially with this particular king, and the reason I say that is Queen Elizabeth, and the running joke, and if you watch a lot of the movies, and I do, I love watching those kinds of movies, and there was a lot of fear within the royal system over there that Charles would basically blow it all to smithereens. And I say that because Queen Elizabeth happened to be a very, very devout Christian woman. And she was a dear friend of Ronald Reagan. She loved America. She was also a very close friend of Billy Graham. And King Charles has done his gut-level best to destroy everything that is British about the UK. As a matter of fact, he has invited the Muslims to come into Westminster Abbey, to come into Buckingham Palace, and basically the Muslims are taking over. I mean, that's pretty much it. And King Charles, instead of being a defender of the faith, which, by the way, is the King of England, he is head of the Church of England, he's abdicating that responsibility. And a lot of people over there are just really, really upset and frustrated over all of that. So anyway, we'll get into that. I'm just wondering, do you have a problem with all the hullabaloo surrounding King Charles? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, another interesting story that we've been following is the situation with Jimmy Kimmel. And he's defending, Jimmy Kimmel now defending what he said during his late night show. And it's pretty awful. We're going to play this. This is cut number 9, Jimmy Kimmel from The Late Night Show.
Our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
What a jackass. And I'm using the biblical terminology. So anyway, all you know what broke loose, and everybody's really upset. Melania Trump's upset, and she's calling on ABC to take action, and she's done. She's tired of it. And you know why? Because on Saturday, she had a front row seat to what these Democrats have been wishing for. They all want Trump assassinated. They want him dead. And she got to see that up close and personal on Saturday, and she's done with these people. And I don't blame her one bit. So then Jimmy Kimmel comes out last night, and he does not apologize, and he actually doubles down on what he said. Take a listen to Cut 18.
You know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and the First Lady puts out a statement demanding you be fired from your job? We've all been there, right? You've been there, right, Guillermo?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What a day. As you know, they had to cancel the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington on Saturday night after a man with multiple guns and knives, crashed the party, and may have shot a Secret Service officer. Fortunately, the guy was wearing a bulletproof vest and is okay. They're not sure exactly what happened, but they got the guy. He was charged today. No one was hurt, thank goodness. A lot of people were shaken up on a night that is supposed to be lighthearted. The White House correspondents dinner, if you don't know, it used to be an annual event before Trump showed up. But every year they'd have a comedian roast the room. The president, the vice president, members of the press, everybody got roasted. I did it once. I hosted it. It was a lot of fun. But this year they said, no comedian. We're bringing in a mentalist instead. So on Thursday, 3 days before the event, in order to keep that cherished tradition alive, I did my own version of the correspondents' dinner on my show. I put on a tuxedo. We pretended we had an audience of luminaries. We used old footage of the Trumps, of Pete Hegseth, J.D. Vance, Kid Rock, Vanilla Ice, all the members of his cabinet. And we made it seem like they were all together in a room. We had a little roast. Again, this was Thursday, and there was no big reaction to it until this morning when I greeted the day facing yet another Twitter vomit storm. And a call to fire me from our First Lady, Melania Trump, saying I should be fired because of a joke I made, again, 5 nights ago. It was a pretend roast. I said, our First Lady Melania is here. Look at her, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow, which obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not, by any stretch of the definition, a call to assassination. And they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against gun violence.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is Jimmy Kimmel doubling down on the comments he made about the First Lady and the President of these United States. And there are going to be a lot of people out there defending him. As a matter of fact, a lot of Democrats are. There are a lot of conservatives that are saying he needs to be shut down, that he needs to be fired. There are others now calling for a boycott of ABC TV. I'm just curious what you believe needs to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe that Jimmy Kimmel needs to lose his job over this? I mean, this guy has spent a career attacking President Trump, denigrating President Trump. And I would say this, that at this juncture, any person who is out there insinuating that the president needs to be killed, the first family needs to be attacked, I think those people need to be arrested, and I think those people need to face justice. I mean, I think it really is that simple. So we're going to be taking your calls on this, 901-260-5926. Again, a lot of other people are saying, well, this is a free speech issue, and it's America, and you have the right to have free speech. Yes, you do have the right to have free speech, but you do not have the right to incite or encourage violence. That is against the law. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are the decks you're building today crafted for tomorrow? Only Envision composite decking is compression molded, not extruded. Compressed technology delivers decking that's up to 44% stronger than the average competitor, making it built to last, built to perform, and built to earn you referrals for decades. Envision composite decking, crafted for tomorrow. Find it at envisionoutdoorliving.com.
Shooter, ask yourselves, how different is the rhetoric from this almost assassin than what you read on social media and hear in various forums every single day? The answer, if you're being honest with yourself, is that there is no difference at all. For example, as the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband? And having experienced what I did with the First Lady on Saturday night, I can tell you that she was anything but that. The deranged lies and smears against the president, his family, his supporters have led crazy people to believe crazy things, and they are inspired to commit violence because of those words. It has to stop. When you
All right, there you go. That's Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, and she just laid out Jimmy Kimmel, folks, and she did so in less than 60 seconds. And I say good for her. Good for her. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Maria in North Carolina, WHKP, our terrific affiliate in those parts. Hi, Maria. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say that for so long.
What, Maria? We've got a super bad phone connection. So, guys, let's get that figured out, and we'll try to reconnect with Mary. You know, the other part of this whole Jimmy Kimmel story, and this is really the sad part about it all, is that these people actually have no regret. They have no shame in what they do. They believe that they are on some sort of a spiritual quest, a mission. That's what they think they're on. They think they're doing God's work by trying to take out Donald Trump. And I hate to break it to you folks, but the reality is very clear. And I mean very clear. There are a lot of other crazy people out there that want to take down President Trump. And they are going to try. There will be more attempts on the president's life. I have no doubt about that. And these Democrats are out there encouraging it. And I'm telling you, Hakeem Jeffries, completely unhinged. And when we come back from the break, we're going to play some of that audio. But that's just, it's insane. That guy, somebody needs to give him a cup, and we need to do some testing on that guy because he's not right in the head. All right, I think we've got Maria back, WHKP. All right, Maria, go for it.
Okay, hi, Todd. I just wanted to say that for so long, the effect of these Democrat rhetoric, it has always been felt by and dealt with by someone else, somewhere else. But at the correspondents' dinner, there were so many of the propaganda machine were there, and they themselves, they felt the fear of the monster that they created. They felt violated by this monster that they have created. So it seems that maybe it's closing in on them. And now it's not just somebody else, somewhere else that is having to deal with this.
You know, Maria, that's an interesting point you made, and I was really astounded because after all of that had happened, there were announcements being made that they're looking to continue on with the program, and the journalist in that room in their $1,000 outfits, their suits and their fancy dresses, they had the steak and the lobster and all that stuff. They were more concerned about making sure they got their meal and that they got the show. And it was almost as if they felt inconvenienced by the fact that some guy just tried to kill the president of the United States in front of their very eyes. And God forbid, had he done that, I think they would have done the exact same thing. Unbelievable. All right, Maria, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade, it wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888, and over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. I want to share the latest from Iran, and Iran is now defiant. Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, says the latest peace proposal has fallen short. The president now says, he put out a statement earlier today, and he said that Iran is in a total state of collapse. The president says they want us to open the Hormuz Strait as soon as possible as they try to figure out their leadership situation, which I believe they will be able to do. That is the president's assertions, not mine. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving into May, and very soon we will be in the month of June. And we're hearing that this could be going on for a very long time. So my question here is, where do you now stand on the war in Iran? And I will tell you that on our Newsmax show a couple of days ago, well, this last week, we had two very conservative guys. These are pro-Trump guys. They're MAGA dudes, very conservative, very religious. And one of them is president of the New York Republican Club. The other president of the College Republicans at Clemson University. And both of these guys said in no uncertain terms that they were strongly opposed to the war, and they believe that the president and the administration have betrayed the MAGA movement by going to war against Iran. And they pointed out a litany of things. I mean, these are smart guys. These are not guys that are just, you know, going off the cuff. These are guys that really feel like they have been betrayed by their president over the war. And the administration is going to have to come to terms with that. So and they're going to have to factor that into whatever happens in the midterm election. So if those guys are representative of the average Republicans out there, then that's going to be a big issue for the president as we move towards the midterm elections. So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, J.D. Vance there's some reporting out there. And again, I want to stress this is the Atlantic. So somebody is leaking this to the Atlantic. And there's always a reason when these folks leak stuff. But here goes. So J.D. Vance, we know, has been privately opposed to what's been happening in Iran. And now the reporting is that J.D. Vance has been questioning if the Pentagon is giving President Trump the full picture on what's been happening in Iran. You know, we have not been getting any sort of reports about injury totals, fatalities, equipment that's, but we haven't gotten any of that. I mean, it's radio silent, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I don't want the enemy to know what we're up to and what they may or may not be capable of doing. But the Independent is now reporting, this is the headline, J.D. Vance has repeatedly questioned if Pentagon is giving Trump the full picture on the war. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and General Raising Cain have both characterized the military's performance in the 8-week-old conflict in glowing terms, insisting that American weapons stockpiles remain high and that damage to Iran's Air Force, Navy, and defensive infrastructure has been severe. However, the Atlantic reports that Vance has privately questioned the reality of those claims, asking whether the rosy portrayal of the war being presented to the president is really the truth, citing advisors to the vice president. By the way, you know who one of those advisors was? It was none other than Tucker Carlson's son, who was on J.D. Vance's staff. And Tucker's son just recently resigned to take another position outside of the administration. Vance has reportedly expressed concerns about the availability of particular missile systems in discussions with the president, fearful that a shortage of munitions reserves would have consequences for potential future run-ins with China, North Korea, or Russia. The magazine said that Vance has presented his concerns as his own rather than accusing Hegseth or Kane of misleading the president. Here's a quote. Vance is trying, the advisors suggested, to avoid making this personal or to create divisions in Trump's war cabinet. Some of Vance's confidants, however, believe that Hegseth's portrayal has been so positive as to be misleading. One person telling the magazine, Pete's TV experience has made him really skilled at knowing how to talk to Trump, how Trump thinks. And they suggested that Hegseth's combative approach during press conferences and the reliably upbeat messaging are designed to appeal to the president personally, noting that his briefings typically take place at 8 a.m. when Trump is known to tune in to Fox News. So what is the takeaway here? Well, you have to, again, you have to consider the source, but you also have to consider the fact that J.D. Vance has been a part of the anti-war side of the MAGA movement. And I think there's a key note here. There's a key phrase, 8-week-long conflict. This thing was supposed to have been over 4 weeks, 5 weeks max. That's what the White House told us. And we did caution all of you back then at that time, just hold tight. Don't hold on to those timelines just yet. So there's a lot still to go on, and there's a lot that has to be done. And we're going to take a look at it here, folks. But I'm telling you, there is a lot of consternation inside the Trump administration right now on what to do with this war. Because J.D. Vance sees that if this thing drags out, then his opportunity for the White House could become in jeopardy. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, the reality here is that the administration's in a pickle. They've either got to declare, I mean, they're going to have to declare victory. What that looks like, will the Iranians come to the table? I don't think they will. They certainly haven't to this point. The president says the regime is in disarray. Well, okay, let's just say we declare victory. What happens if, for example, what happens if the Iranians start shooting missiles again at Israel? So a lot of factors to consider there. 901-260-5926, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits today, and a new study finds that 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true and reveals five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in a free special report. Newsmax says this report is your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. So whether you are getting benefits now or you soon will, you need the Social Security report, and you can get it free by calling 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We will text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. So call now, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dylan, have you heard about, this is sort of a weird thing, but there it's sort of all the rage, apparently. You know, the prom season is here, and Little Starnes was at the prom.
Yes,
and, Little Starnes. And we understand, Ian, the intern, we asked, you know, we always sort of, we get together on Monday mornings, and every morning we get together and have a little bit of a powwow and see how everybody's weekends went and what was going on. And you know, we asked Ian if did anything, and no, not really. And then at the end of it, he goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, I went to the prom."
Yeah, he just slid that in there.
And went to the prom,
nonchalant.
So apparently, it's something called. This is trending on social media. It's called Black Prom. Have you seen these videos?
Oh yes, I have.
So it appears that these moms are spending thousands and thousands of dollars on these elaborate prom events, like it's almost like what you would see at, I don't know, like a wedding, or you know, the coronation of King Charles, for example. Yeah, we're just going to keep doing that through the whole show, aren't we?
He has arrived.
Yeah. Hello.
They're spending wedding money on a prom.
They're spending all this. It's unbelievable. And in one case, they're coming out of their homes and they've got these, you know, the music is playing and they're like throwing money out to the people in the front yard.
It's like a nightclub.
I've never seen anything like this. And some people are really freaking out about this. But I am just curious, is this like a normal thing? Are people really spending thousands and thousands of dollars on the high school prom? That's what I want to know. Because on the white side of it, I guess you've got what? The country club? Is that? I don't even know if that's even remotely. Can you compare it?
I don't even think we do the country club half the time. I think we go to the local park. If there's like a bridge there, we eat that up. Like, that's our spot.
One of them was in a housing project. And I'm just... How do you afford that? I just don't get it. I do not get it. I mean, maybe you save save a few dollars every month. I don't know. But I'm just shocked.
I mean, on one side, I can understand you want your kids to feel celebrated. And obviously, you know, prom is a big thing for high schoolers. I don't know. Are you going to have enough money for the wedding if the wedding comes around? Like, that's the question.
So there's actually a Reddit chain on this called Black Prom Ask Black People. And they actually, and it is a huge, huge deal. A huge deal. But I am wondering, are we really investing in the right things with our money? Let's just say, I don't know, some of these things, I mean, in one instance that the kids flew in on a helicopter to prom, you know what I had? I had your great grandfather's sparkly blue El Camino pickup. Got that sucker washed and waxed.
Hey, that's better than a helicopter, some say.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a smooth ride.
That's better than what I had. I had a 2001 Ford Ranger, so.
I had an 8-track tape player in there.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. It was, yes.
Now that's a prom.
Yeah, the problem was there was a Kenny Rogers 8-track and it got stuck. And so it's just hard to get romantic when it's like, you know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. That's
unfortunate.
It was. That was really bad. And it just had AM radio. So
well, there you go.
What are you going to do? So anyway, now a lot of people are wondering, okay, they're saying, well, the Black Prom is a protest and a symbol of resistance. But for many, it's the one night that they get to transcend their collective adversities, feel celebrated, and create a magical utopia of escapism that reminds us we deserve and are worth more than what we've been given historically. I have no idea what are they trying to convey here? But again, even on the country club side, it's, you know, these kids are, I've never seen anything like it. For example, it's like high school football. It's not like it was back in the day. Now, mommies and daddies want their little high school football players to be NFL stars. And I mean, they go all out. Never seen it. And the same thing with soccer. And you wonder if a lot of parents, are they missing something here? Or is this sort of like the new reality?
My kid's not even going to have a phone until he's like 16 or her. Like, they're celebrating their kids. I get it. But is there a line that you're crossing where it's too much?
You know, it's shocking the number of young people that do not have a driver's license, and they do not want a driver's license. They want mommy and dad.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was counting down the day. I was counting down the years.
I was borderline on the street.
I already put my I wish we would have had Facebook Marketplace. I would have put my big wheel up on the Facebook Marketplace. I was ready to get out of there. And I was ready for that pickup truck.
This is how you end up with 35-year-olds in the mom's basement. That's how this happens.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And it all starts at prom.
I'm telling you, it's by the time. And my question is, okay, if you're a parent, at what point do you say, all right, little Ian, you've got to get a job. And then it's like, does little Ian get do you make him get a bank account? You know, because a lot of kids don't even have bank accounts. They don't know how to balance a checkbook. They don't know how to handle money, manage money. They don't know how to do any of that. And I would be curious to hear from you, if you know, at what age did you start making your kids have some responsibilities, whether it's, you know, chores or, you know, mowing the grass or going and just getting a job, a part-time job? I remember I was at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits. That was a brutal job. I did get a raise, 25 cents an hour. Got to work the biscuit machine.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what.
Best job in town right there.
You would think so, but they put you in this glass case, and so the children in the community would come and heckle you.
Wait, this is how it used to be? They used to have the biscuit maker in his own box?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was like a thing. You wanted to see the biscuits being made.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, it's a great recipe. It was a great gig, but I didn't like the heckling.
I'm sure you get sick of biscuits now. Your throat's always dry. It's just like, I need water in here.
And the hecklers. But going back to this prom, the Little Star is what paid, what, 200 and something bucks for the prom tickets, and it was held in the high school gym. And what are you getting, punch? Is that it? Oh, I wonder if they still spike the punch.
Ooh, we didn't.
So when I was
I don't know if they still do.
When I was in high school, we used to have our prom down in the French Quarter, and the problem is nobody actually ever made it to the prom. Everybody was out on Bourbon Street. And so the that was like my freshman and sophomore year in high school. By the time junior year rolled along, the principal figured it out, Dylan, and they said, "You know what? It's cheaper to put everybody on a riverboat and launch that riverboat into the middle of the Mississippi River and dare the heathen children to jump out."
That sounds like prison prom right there. But if it works, it works.
Yeah. It was prison prom.
Yeah. Well, our only rule was no twerking on the dance floor. Like, twerking was a big thing when I was in high school. That was our only rule. I mean, obviously the alcohol thing, but
we were coming out of the whole disco era, so we were more like culture club. We had a lot of the British bands were really influential back then, but we were still kind of coming out of the. So disco was not cool at all back then. Now 70s music is, you know, it's kind of cool.
It's back.
Yeah, it's back. But I am curious about moms and dads. You know, at what age did you start saying, "All right, kid, you've got to start acting like an adult. You got to get a driver's license. You got to get a job. You got to get a bank account. Get a girlfriend, for crying out loud." Anyway, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, for many, many years, going all the way back to my days at Fox News Channel, we were covering the attacks by the left on American culture. And as we pointed out, I wrote a book many years ago called Godless America. And In that book, I told a story about how the jihadists, when they would invade a country, that they would intentionally target the cultural institutions, the cultural centers of those nations, and they would destroy the museums. They would destroy the paintings and turn things to rubble. They would burn books, and they would basically eradicate that culture and replace it with their own culture. And I pointed out at the time that we were undergoing what I called a culture jihad here in the United States of America. And it is something that President Trump is fighting against every single day. And I really shudder to think what would have happened had he not won the presidential election, because we were heading down a very dark, dangerous path in this country. Well, our next guest has written a book about that. It's called Weaponized: The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Seth Barron is managing editor of The American Mind, and he joins us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Seth, congratulations, and good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Todd. I really appreciate it.
So I'm just curious, what compelled you to tackle this particular subject matter?
Well, you know what? I've always heard this line that the left uses, and it's very compelling sounding when they say, think globally, act locally. And it's like, what an interesting nostrum. But if you think about it, this is whenever they tell you to think globally, what they're saying is, don't think about what you see. Don't act on what you see in front of you. You have to incorporate our world vision, and then you need to implement it at the local level. So it got me thinking about all the different ways in which the left is interested in basically interrupting democracy, in the sense of people operating in their communities, responding to local needs, by imposing this greater philosophy that they've come up with, and essentially filtered through all of our institutions to basically disrupt those institutions.
You point out in the book that the elites loathe the idea that the Constitution rests power in the hands of the people. Who are these elites? How would you define these elites that you write about?
It's not that complicated. Essentially, it's the educated classes, the professions, the law, academia. Now, this isn't to say that education is bad, but to say, I have a college degree. Most people I know have a college degree, but it doesn't necessarily make them smarter or wiser or more moral than anyone. However, there is an elite class. I guess you would say it's the law, academia, the media, a lot of churches. And this is a class that sees essentially that they are the expert class, that they should be in charge of organizing society along certain progressive principles that they've determined, are the most effective and efficient ways to implement their vision of the world.
Again, when you talk about the left attacking institutions, what sort of, is it one particular area of America, or are we talking across the board they're attacking American culture?
Oh, I would say they're attacking American culture across the board. In my book, I focus on four key institutions. First, the national question, like borders and citizenship. Second, the education system. Third, public safety. And fourth, housing. And essentially, how housing is constructed, the meaning of highways, how neighborhoods are zoned. That's kind of a tricky one because people don't really think about that. But that's a key one because that's typically done on the local level, and this is something that the left hates. So you'll see all over the country efforts to remove the local power to zone housing and move it up to the state level or even the national level in order to effect radical change on basically at the level of the community.
I know here in Tennessee, where we originate this program, it's a rock-solid Republican state. And I will say this, that even Republican-controlled states, they have a problem with this idea of taking power that doesn't belong to them. There's been a big controversy just in the past couple of days about the state legislature stepping in and saying, we're going to require local sheriff's departments to work with federal agencies. And many people are saying that is a vast overreach of the powers of the state legislature. So I think I see where you're going with this. You also mentioned sports as well. And I'm intrigued by this because I think I have seen this in real time. And that is just very puzzling to me.
Well, you know, you see this in with, for instance, the efforts to force girls' sports teams to accept boys who are, you know, pretending they're girls or think they're girls or whatever that is. So, sure, you see it at that level, too.
We have Seth Barron, managing editor of The American Mind, a new book out, Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. You write that this is a war against the sovereignty of the American people and the hour is late. That implies that there is still hope here. How do we stop this from happening?
Well, people have to kind of wake up and realize that they are the sovereigns, that they control the country. It power rests in the hands of the people, and to recognize the way the incursions that the leftist ideology of meddlesomeness, busybodiness is working its way through, you know, for instance, the education system or the attack on public safety. The left likes to redefine public safety. So you'll hear all the time, oh, real public safety is, better schools. Real public safety is food security. Real public safety is, feeling that justice is done to the defendants. So they keep it's this redefinition of terms that kind of sucks you in, saying like, it goes back to that what I was saying before, think globally, act locally, trying to essentially pervert our minds, pervert the way we were able to comprehend reality and substitute a progressive vision of the world as the ideal reality. It's essentially a kind of utopian impulse that they're trying to communicate into the minds of the children and just to regular people.
All right. Well, Seth, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, congratulations. And folks, the new book called Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Be sure to get yourself a copy wherever you buy your books. You can also follow Seth on X, Seth Barron, NYC. All right, Seth, congratulations. Thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a good read. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones, our good friend and Republican strategist, weighing in on some chaos happening up on Capitol Hill. Also, an amazing effort underway at Olivet Nazarene University. Kids there love America, and you are going to be blessed when you hear the story from Jacob York, who is the local TPUSA president there. And Mary Walter joins us in the final half hour of the show. She's going to weigh in on what's happening at the White House as President and Mrs. Trump welcome King Charles. Tally-ho, tally-ho, 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, one of the things I love about the Trump administration is that the president has appointed some really smart people to his administration, one of them being Lee Zeldin, who is the EPA administrator. And whenever these guys are called before Congress, they do their homework. they show up and they are absolutely prepared for whatever happens. And I want you to hear the back and forth. This is Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro. She's from New York. She's about 130 years old, and she has this weird purple hair. And there was a back and forth over climate change. Now, we have a lot of new listeners to this program, and all of you new listeners need to understand this. We do believe in climate change on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is called winter, spring, summer, and fall. That is the climate change that we ascribe to here on this program. But anyway, here's the back and forth with Lee Zeldin and Rosa DeLauro.
When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper-Bright, Supreme Court case. You're familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper-Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper-Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay. Now, you want me to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second and wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper-Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is. Because you're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny.
I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
You know,
I read the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no.
This,
what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read your Supreme Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you care about science? Now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh my God! No, you don't fund science
because you don't know what Loper-Bright is. Because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is. Your message to our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up.
I made up Loper-Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa is right. What are you doing? Why are you helping polluters?
I love it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, the Democrats, when they can't defend their position, what do? They yell. They yell. That's what they. Hello, who do you think you are? I'm an old woman. Who do you think you are? That's embarrassing. That's terrible. The woman, she was completely ill-prepared. God bless Lee Zeldin. And he just took her down. Well done, Mr. Zeldin. Well done. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I don't know why we're doing this, Dylan, but in honor of, you know, the British being here, I guess. I just don't know why we're spending all this money on King Charles. I don't get it. But anyway, in honor of King Charles, we have a little snippet here from one of these British quiz shows that they had. This is what our university students, I believe, Dylan. And let's listen to the question.
Now, let's start the question. The nicknames cheesemongers, cherry pickers, Bob's own, the Emperor's chambermaids, and the immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You're Miss Bright. Homosexuals?
No, they're regiments in the British Army.
Oh, so they're homosexuals. Okay, got it.
It was such a common sense thing to him to know that. Sense.
I think it was the cheese pickers or what? Can we play that again? I want to hear the...
Now let's start a question. The nicknames cheesemongers, cherry pickers, Bob's own, the emperor's chambermaids, and the immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You miss Bright. Homosexuals?
No, they're regiments in the British Army.
The cherry pickers. So this explains why we had to go and fight the Germans. Cheesemongers?
Cheesecrackers?
Geez-a-loo. All right. There you go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So Friday, it's May Day. What, May 1st? Is that Friday? I think it is Friday. Many schools around the nation are shutting down. And the reason why is because they want their students out in the streets protesting for these May Day protests. Now, May Day is a big left-wing celebration for labor, and it was organized and adopted by the socialist and the communist groups. So our nation's public education system, and I'm talking about middle schools and high schools, are literally shutting down, and they're sending their kids into the streets. They're calling it a no-work, no-school, no-shopping union strike. And this is happening all over America. Now, again, if the administration was really serious about cracking down on what's happening in our nation's education system, they would make the following pronouncement. Any public school that shuts down and allows their students out of class to go and march in the streets of any town or city will immediately be defunded. Immediately. That's what they ought to do. They're not playing hardball with these schools. And as a result of that, a lot of these schools are still letting boys into girls' locker rooms. They're ignoring all of the president's executive orders, and they're turning classrooms into anti-Trump and anti-America propaganda centers. And all I'm saying is we've got to take a stand here. And one of the ways that we can do that is by forcing these schools to do right. And what is that? Keep those kids inside the classrooms. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of kids going to be marching out of school. You're going to let your kids march in the May Day parades, protest. And people are wondering why their kids are coming out of high school and they're embracing communism and socialism. This is one of the reasons why. All right, hang tight, everybody. Josh Jones coming up next. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we do have a little bit of breaking news. The FCC just announced they are preparing to challenge the licenses of ABC TV affiliates after Jimmy Kimmel called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. The review could begin as early as this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call in the business playing hardball. Here's how it now stands. If, in fact, the FCC is successful, a number of ABC TV affiliates across the nation could be pulled off the air unless Jimmy Kimmel is fired. So that's the very latest. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Welcome in our good friend, Josh Jones, Republican strategist. Josh, good to have you with us today. Well, Josh, let's just jump right into it because there's been a lot of hate, a lot of vitriol that's been spewed over the past past couple of days here. Not really much of a surprise, but I want to get your reaction to the latest hullabaloo surrounding Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the breaking news with the FCC launching this investigation, my whole thought on this initially is, did they not learn their lesson about a year ago, or a little bit under a year ago at this point? But did they not learn the lesson then? We went through the same situation of whenever, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, and they took it too far, and they, you know, he issued an apology as it related to Erica Kirk, issued an apology, and, you know, everything was smooth sailing after that, and like they negotiated with the FCC, and everything's fine. Just to go down the same path a couple months later. So it's disappointing to say the least. And look, I'm a free speech person. You're absolutely welcome to say and do whatever you want, but at the same time, that doesn't mean you're free of consequence when you do cross that line.
No, it's a fair point you raise. And again, that they sort of always jump to the, oh, it's a joke for cover, when in fact it's not a joke. I mean, they really do want this president dead. And I want to play some audio here just from some of the folks just here recently that have been out there calling for, well, as a matter of fact, let's go back and listen to Jimmy Kimmel. This is Jimmy Kimmel, again, not apologizing for what he had to say. This happened last night, and you can tell this guy's scared. He knows that he stepped in it. Let's take a listen to Cut 18.
You know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and the first lady puts out a statement demanding you be fired from your job? We've all been there, right? You've been there, right, Guillermo?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What a day. As you know, they had to cancel the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington on Saturday night after a man with multiple guns and knives crashed the party and may have shot a Secret Service officer. Fortunately, the guy was wearing a bulletproof vest and is okay. They're not sure exactly what happened, but they got the guy. He was charged today. No one was hurt, thank goodness. A lot of people were shaken up on a night that is supposed to be lighthearted. The White House Correspondents' Dinner, if you don't know, it used to be an annual event before Trump showed up. But every year they'd have a comedian roast the room. The president, the vice president, members of the press, everybody got roasted. I did it once. I hosted it. It was a lot of fun. But this year they said, no comedian. We're bringing in a mentalist instead. So on Thursday, 3 days before the event, in order to keep that cherished tradition alive, I did my own version of the Correspondents' Dinner on my show. I put on a tuxedo. We pretended we had an audience of luminaries. We used old footage of the Trumps, of Pete Hegseth, J.D. Vance, Kid Rock, Vanilla Ice, all the members of his cabinet. And we made it seem like they were all together in a room. We had a little roast. Again, this was Thursday, and there was no big reaction to it until this morning when I greeted the day facing yet another Twitter vomit storm. And a call to fire me from our first lady, Melania Trump, saying I should be fired because of a joke I made, again, 5 nights ago. It was a pretend roast. I said, our first lady, Melania, is here. Look at her, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow, which obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together.
Okay, enough of that. Enough of that. I mean, Josh, again, the guy just can't, he can't help himself. He can't stop himself. And the issue here I have is it's the double standard. If this had been Barack Obama, Kimmel would have already been long gone. But again, there's one set of rules for the Democrats and another set of rules when it comes to Republicans.
You're right. And I guess the Hollywood, the legacy media, even social media companies, at least up until President Trump took office, there's two different standards a lot of the times where Democrats and, you know, those left-leaning folks can get away with saying a lot more egregious things compared to their conservative counterparts simply because, you know, it doesn't align with their personal ideology.
Josh, I did not see you in the crowd at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They call it the Nerd Prom. Have you ever been to one of those shindigs?
I haven't. I've gone to some of the events surrounding it, but I haven't actually gone to the event itself before. So luckily, this seems like a good one to have skipped, given the context of everything that happened. But definitely, you know, we'll make an effort to go to one of those in the future.
No, well, I know. Look, I take great pride and I've never gone. I was given an invitation when I was at Fox, took a pass. I have absolutely no interest in being in the same room with people like Jake Tapper and Don Lemon and all those far left yahoos. So I can think of a million other things I would rather do, including getting a root canal without any drugs, than go to the White House Correspondents Association dinner. But again, you know, when you look at the, it just seemed to me they were all they felt more inconvenienced than anything else because they really wanted to continue the program. And they didn't seem to be terribly concerned that the president of the United States nearly got killed on national television.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely some slight in the crowd that maybe had those viewpoints. But I'm also sympathetic to Trump's point of view right after the shooting, like he said in the 60 Minutes interview after the day after, of him wanting to keep the show going or the show must go on. Because I think an important thing when it comes to these attempted assassination or terror events or, you know, what have you, whenever someone's trying to make a statement for political or ideological reasons, is you can't let them change the course of things or dictate how you're going to how you act. So I am sympathetic in that sense to wanting the show to go on. Was that their motive? Maybe not. obviously, you know, the Secret Service was not going to let that happen.
Josh Jones joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Josh, when you look at the level of rhetoric out there, and a lot of this, it has to be coming from the university level. We have a lot of very dangerous people walking the streets. And what's really scary is, I mean, they look like very normal people. These are folks that are probably not on anybody's radar. Most of them have never been in trouble with the law before. And yet, you know, you do have to wonder, at what point is there going to be a conversation about the rhetoric out there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we've been talking about this for a while, and this is how people get killed. You can't just walk around and say and doing whatever you want, whether that's, you know, amongst your staff, if you're a congressman, amongst your staff on the Hill or other members, or going on and doing these media hits or the social media presence, you know, what have you. You can't just say and do whatever you want, because your actions and your words have consequences. To your point, a lot of these people that have been involved over the past couple of years on both sides of the aisle, but it seems like as of late, a lot of it's coming from the left, of, you know, these people being inspired to political violence. And that doesn't just come from nowhere. That starts somewhere. And it starts with the rhetoric from our elected leaders, particularly those on the Democratic side of the aisle.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Josh, before we let you go, I have questions for you.
Sure.
Last week, we had two Gen Zers on the show, and they were informing us and educating us about something called looks maxing. Are you familiar with this this idea of looks maxing?
I'm familiar. I'm not a partaker, but I'm familiar with the concept.
So you don't smash your face with a hammer before you come on the program?
No, I can't say I've done that before.
Have you met anybody who's done that? I'm very intrigued by this.
I haven't met anybody. There's just one guy on Twitter. I forget his name. Starts with a C.
Clavicular. Clavicular.
But yeah, there's this one guy on Twitter that's done it, allegedly. I mean, I'm not that big of a follower, but I've seen people talk about it on Twitter before. That's about my extent of it.
Now, Dylan, help me out here. Is looks maxing, is that connected to what do they call it? Mogging? Did I get the word right?
Yeah, if you're looks maxing, then you're most likely mogging someone.
Now, what does mogging mean?
Mogging is like you are better than them on some level of status. In this case, it would be looks. So you would be looking better than them on camera or in front of them.
And the reason we asked this, Josh, is last week we were talking about meatballs, and I used the term raw dogging, which the staff told me was an inappropriate term to use on the radio. So I wanted to make sure that – so we're mogging. Mogging is appropriate.
Mogging, oddly enough, is okay.
Now, the second question, we've been talking about prom. Now, I know you're 25, 26, so you're an old guy. Okay, yeah, you're an old guy. So it wasn't that long ago that you went to prom. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, do you remember how much money and how much effort you put into prom?
I don't off the top of my head. The only thing, the things I remember spending money on was the tux rental or the suit rental and then the ticket itself. But beyond that, I don't think I spent that much money. But honestly, I couldn't tell you how much it was.
So you didn't rent a helicopter or, you know, flash thousands of dollars and throw them in the air for people to catch. You didn't do any of that.
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, Dylan, I think we're just sort of impoverished. I guess I don't. So it's the latest craze here, Josh, is that these kids nowadays are treating prom like it's their wedding, the wedding of the century.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. Like the amount of money, I mean, obviously it's not even the kids' money because, I mean, they're in high school. It's not like they've had enough time to work a real job and save up enough money to blow it on that kind of stuff. So it's coming from their parents, which is, you know, maybe questionable judgment from the parents.
Fair enough. Good point. All right. Josh Jones, good to see you. Thank you for clarifying that you do not smash your face with hammers.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. There you go. You know, I figured we'd ask him, Dylan. I mean, he's in that age bracket there. I'm just curious how prevalent this is.
Yeah, if it's going to keep growing, we got to just ask every Gen Z male we see, because they could be victim to it.
You know what? We need to call Germantown Hardware or Colonial Hardware.
Yes.
And get, see, have you guys seen an unusually large number of young men coming in and purchasing hammers, screwdrivers, claws,
chainsaws, buzz saws? Oh,
geez, Lou. That's extreme mogging right there, or looks maxing. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Madison Public Schools, teachers and students walking out of class to protest May Day. Cut number 19.
My name is Emily, and I'm a teacher in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm also a proud member of our union, MTI, in the Madison branch of Socialist Alternative. On April 21st, union reps from nearly every school in the district voted overwhelmingly to join the nationwide call for no work, no school, no shopping on May 1st. In addition to teachers joining that movement, there's going to be citywide walkouts of our high school students, shutting down three major streets across the city. And we are taking inspiration from our fellow educators in North Carolina, where, like Wisconsin, striking is illegal. But North Carolina, the union, NCAE, is busing in educators from across the state to join their rally at the Capitol. In Madison, this is going to be the most widespread and organized action since the Battle of Wisconsin in Act 10. And for this movement, after months of organizing in our schools, the pressure from below forced the district to cancel classes on May 1st here as well. And in Wisconsin, we are demanding our state to protect our immigrant workers, students, and families from fear of ICE, in addition to fully funding our public schools. May Day 2026 has the potential to be the strongest possible rebuke so far to Trump's anti-immigrant warmongering agenda because of the actual disruption to profits and halting business as usual. From work stoppages and shutting down major streets across Madison, I'm excited that this city, the teachers and the workers are going to be a part of this historic nationwide day of action.
Okay, enough of that. In addition, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The and this is why they're doing it. They're protesting Donald Trump. So your tax dollars are being used to fund all of this crapola. That's what's going on here, all of it. And the kids aren't learning. Well, they are learning. The only thing they're learning is to hate Donald Trump. And what these schools are doing are raising up little anarchists. That's what's going on here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Dylan, you know, it's bad here. We thought it was bad here in Memphis. You've got the, we call them young scholars, and they're driving the Dodge Chargers at 150 miles an hour on the interstate. They take over the streets and they do the donuts and they shoot their weapons. Oh, they're just young, bright scholars. Sweet little precious boys. And I thought we had it bad, but we look, Charlotte, North Carolina, it's like Mogadishu over there. So over the weekend, an interstate, I-77, I want to read the headline from WBT-TV from Charlotte, North Carolina. An interstate was set on fire during a street takeover in North Charlotte this past weekend. The takeover happened on I-77. Viral videos show dozens of people walking around on the interstate, blocking drivers from passing in any lanes. Many of the people who took over had their faces covered. They also turned and videoed stalled traffic that was stopped because the road was blocked. One video showed a fire that was apparently set by the people involved with the takeover. The clip shows one person bending over and igniting the I-77 asphalt, causing flames to span an entire lane. Let me just ask you a question. What would you do? You're driving on the interstate late at night, trying to get home. Maybe you're heading, I don't know where I-77 is. That near Statesville? I'm sure someone in Statesville will let us know. We have a lot of listeners in that area. What would you do if all of a sudden you had a bunch of young scholars and their Dodge Chargers slam on the brakes, block off the interstate, set it on fire, then they get out of their vehicles? You know what I'd be doing? I'd be hitting the gas. That's what I'd be doing. I mean, Dylan, at that point, I mean, you're at their mercy.
Yeah, it's kind of life or death at that point, honestly. I mean, if they're getting violent, because you don't know what they're going to do, right? So it's like you have two choices. Either you can try to turn around, which might not be the best choice, or you can floor it, which I'd like to think that I would do that too. But I don't think my conscience can actually convince myself to floor it.
My conscience would be extremely clear. Seriously.
In a Cadillac, you just roar right through.
I would sleep well at night. Yep. Put that sucker in four-wheel drive.
There you go.
Just put some right put over some the top of the Dodge Chargers. And you know what? I would, as I was passing through the flames, I'd, you know, pass somebody a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. Kind citizen.
But I mean, what are people supposed to do at that point? I mean, you've got these young scholars, and maybe they were just tired. Maybe they just wanted to take a break, and there wasn't a rest stop around. You know, they shut down a lot of the rest stops. Maybe they, I don't know. Maybe they were hungry, wanted to have a weenie roast or something. Do some s'mores. I don't know what they were doing. But you know what? I wouldn't worry about it because I would have already been home. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't play around with these young scholars. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Tom Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 of the Big Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. We have got a lot going on this hour of the show. Newsmax contributor Mary Walter joins us in just a little while. But I promised you a good news story, and it really is. It's a great news story coming from Olivet Nazarene University, where students were asked a very important question. Well, joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is the president of the Turning Point USA chapter at Olivet Nazarene University, Jacob York. Jacob, good to have you back on the show.
Glad to be back. It's been a while, but I'm happy to be here.
You know, Jacob, I want to rehash, you know, why you were on our show originally. It wasn't too long ago, just after Charlie Kirk's assassination, that you actually got death threats. And my understanding is it was so awful, you actually had to leave campus just for a matter of your own safety.
Yeah, so towards the end of last semester, there was a couple anonymous death threats, and I had to leave campus right towards the end of finals week, and then I was fortunate to be able to come back to Olivet this year and compete on the baseball team and then continue the work that we'd started last semester.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out, and of course, we have to give credit where credit is due, and the university doing a terrific job of really taking those threats seriously. Making sure that your well-being was cared for, and good that you're back on campus. And I guess baseball season already started.
Yeah, baseball season's been alive and well. We actually start playoffs this week. Our team has had a phenomenal year, and actually that was actually a huge part of coming back to campus for me was the baseball team has been so great and loving on me and supporting me, and we have a great brotherhood. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So I'm curious, I want to talk about what happened. You sent me a note last night, and this was such an encouraging word. You guys set up a table there on the university campus, and you asked a very simple question, why you love America? And I'm curious what the response to that question was.
Yeah, so the idea with this is our Turning Point chapter collaborated with the Law and Politics Society Club on campus for this table event outside the main dining hall on campus, and we asked people why they love America. And pretty much when people were like, well, why are you doing this? Our reasoning was it's the 250th anniversary of our great and beautiful country, and we want students especially to be able to state why they love America and think through that and also engage in conversation about that, because there's this sense in our generation that people can't be proud to be an American patriot or have any type of love for the country they live in. And it was great. We had great responses. We had over 200 people stop by the table and write down why they loved America and engage in conversation. Of course, there was a couple people who weren't exactly happy we were there, but that's going to happen in any and all situations.
Were you, so about 200 students, were you guys able to tally, keep a running tally of why people, you know, said they loved America?
So basically, we had these big poster boards laid out on the table, and they would just write down, you know, why they loved America. And a lot of them engaged in good conversation, too. We wanted people to write down and then take constitutions and pins and stuff like that and stickers. But we mainly wanted people to engage in conversation and express why they truly love America.
What were some of the responses you heard?
A lot of it was, which is just such a huge encouragement to me, and especially being at a Christian university, a lot of it was freedom to express their love for Christ and worship him freely. That was a huge part. And I would say that was over 50% of what people wrote down, but a lot of it was free speech. A lot of it was, some people wrote down fireworks or some other fun stuff as well, but a lot of it had to do with freedom of religion, which is just so huge and so crucial.
Yeah, I'm wondering the reaction from you and your crew there at TP USA. What was your response to all of those answers?
Yeah, it was super encouraging. And there's ordinarily tables in the main dining area on a weekly basis, but I have never seen so many people stop by a table, and also a lot of people just engaging in conversations. Usually it's people, you know what, they come up, they grab a pamphlet, and they move on with the rest of their day. But we had people stand there for 30, 40 minutes engaging in conversation about our great country. And that is so encouraging. And that is the true reason of why we wanted to be out there.
You know, here we are coming out off a very difficult weekend in America where, you know, a guy tried to, you know, kill the president, take out members of the administration. There's still a lot of hate and a lot of vitriol out there. That has to be encouraging for you, though, to see young college students like yourself that actually love America and appreciate what we've got here.
Yeah. And what's funny is there were some people, you know, who would walk up to the table and cuss us out, or I'd say, hey, do you love America? And they would respond, no. And I would always respond like, hey, well, come have a conversation. Tell me why. Usually they would walk along, but a couple people stayed, and I'd be like, okay, so give me one reason you don't love America. And usually what would happen is they couldn't even think of one, but they've been taught since from a young age, or they see their favorite celebrity on the news say, you know what, hating America is cool, and that's what you should do. And they just buy into that. And then when they're put in the spotlight and they're put up to the microphone, so to speak, they can't give a real answer why they love America. And they also realize in conversation, they have freedoms to talk about why they don't love America, which a lot of other countries don't even have.
Well, Jacob York joining us. He's president of the TPUSA chapter at Olivet Nazarene University. I'm curious how things are going with TPUSA. They've been in the headlines. Several chapter presidents have stepped aside. There was some controversy over a rally at the near UGA in Georgia. How are things going there at Olivet Nazarene?
You know, they're great. I've obviously had a busy semester with baseball, so I haven't done as much stuff. But come fall semester, we're hoping to have a lot of big speakers come in. And I think really a lot of people talk about, you know, the headlines at Turning Point and this person and that person and this story. But really what it comes down to is, do you support the same things that Charlie Kirk did? Do you want to step up and carry on the torch that he did? And do you really love America? Because there's no set guideline or belief system you have in joining this great big family at TPUSA. And I have a lot of conversations with other Turning Point chapter presidents who have stepped down about that. And I think it's really encouraging when you have those conversations, because they realize, you know what, I can have this opinion or that opinion, and that's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. That's what's beautiful about free speech. Even Charlie said that free speech is not just saying what you want to say, but it's also listening to what you don't want to hear.
But I think, again, I just think it's so encouraging. You've got about 200 students that came by, and what you said, an overwhelming majority, you know, they found something to love about America.
Yeah, I mean, we had three poster boards completely filled out. I gave away probably over 50 constitutions, wristbands, pins saying why you should love America, stuff like that. So, yeah, super, super encouraging, and hopefully we'll do more things like this come fall semester.
All right. Well, Jacob, well, thank you for sharing that. I know our listeners are very encouraged by what's happening there at Olivet Nazarene. All right, now tell us, so you guys are in the playoffs. What position do you play in, and what division do you guys play in?
Yeah, so I play shortstop for the Olivet Nazarene baseball team. We are the NAI division, and we're in the Central, the CCAC, as we like to call it, conference. So we're the 2 seed, so big hopes to come this weekend. Got to win 3, and then we get ourselves a conference tournament ring, so we're excited.
All right, well, good luck to you out there, Jacob. Hope you have a great, great off semester.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jacob York, everybody, from Olivet Nazarene University. What a great American patriot. And again, this is very encouraging, ladies and gentlemen. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Olivet Nazarene is a Christian school, and they certainly do not shy away from patriotism, God and country there. So anyway, great, great news, and what a great story. And we appreciate Jacob joining us. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Carrie Lake was on the show last night. We had a wonderful conversation. You know, she was one of our guests at the Newsmax table, sitting next to Chris Runney when all the gunfire broke out, and she has a few things to say. Let's take a listen. Carrie, good to see you, and you were in that room. If you could just describe what was going through your mind when those gunshots rang out.
Well, before the sound, the boom, boom, boom of the gunfire, we were making note at our table. We were just, you know, talking and enjoying each other's company. We talked about, it did come up how kind of lax the security was getting in to the hotel, where they didn't really inspect your ticket or ask for any ID. And then we were noting how many dignitaries there were. We had the President of the United States and the beautiful First Lady. Of course, we had the Vice President as well, and many, many cabinet heads and members of Congress, and, you know, the line of succession, really, for the United States government. And I said to the gentleman sitting next to me, I said, we are either in the most secure spot in the entire world or the biggest target in the entire world. And we kind of chuckled at that, but assuming that there was some really good security. Now, when the boom, boom, boom happened, I didn't recognize it as gunfire. I thought maybe some dishes were clanking as they were getting ready to bring food out to the tables. And Chris Ruddy, who was sitting next to me, said, get down, I think that's gunfire. And so we ducked down, and I popped my head back up and looked around and saw immediately, and I think this is what Todd Blanche was talking about, dozens upon dozens upon dozens of Secret Service agents who were in the room in various locations popped up, all of them armed, and they immediately went to get the president, to get members of Congress, to get members of the cabinet, and secure them and get them out. So I was impressed with the actions, the quick actions inside the room. I was not impressed with how the hotel handled, you know, checking tickets and allowing people in straight off the street. I think something needs to be done. We need to look closer at security, because I am speaking, I'm sure, on behalf of hundreds of millions of Americans. I'm tired of the threats that are being launched against our president, and I'm tired of these attempts on his life. We need to protect this man at all costs.
Carrie, I'm just beyond disgusted, and I know Obama was out there and said, well, you know, we don't know why this happened. We know exactly why this happened, and I'm sick and tired of this rhetoric from the Democrats, Hollywood, the mainstream media. We've got to put a stop to this. Somebody's going to get killed. Somebody already has been killed, Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think of the firefighter that was killed in Butler, and that assassination attempt against President Trump. It is very serious, and the people in the media and the mainstream media, I think, really bear the brunt of the responsibility here. They've been reckless, they've been dangerous in the things that they've been saying, and they're trying to normalize assassination. I mean, we just heard 2 or 3 days ago Jimmy Kimmel doing what he was calling a comedy skit, where he's normalizing, trying to get people to laugh at the thought of the president being assassinated. This is sick, twisted stuff. Can you imagine saying something like that? Can you imagine even 10, 15 years ago hearing that? The entire country would have been outraged at it. And now the media has been so nasty toward President Trump for the past 10 or 11 years. They're just trying to put in the hearts and minds of Americans that he's a bad guy when actually he's the most patriotic, loving American we have on the planet right now. And he's working very hard to make sure that our country is saved, our rights and our liberties are saved as well.
Well said.
And I am disgusted by the fake media.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Little Big Mouth in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Little Big Mouth. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't have a poem today. Well, I don't have time for the poem today. But the poem would be about the new Liberty Tree, of which you are a branch or a leaf. And I say that because of the topic you're bringing up, or you've been talking about, Charlie Kirk, Turning Point, the indoctrination of our children, and now they want them to take to the streets on May Day, and all these things. And I believe, Todd, it's on me and it's on you. And I was speaking with somebody at the when I was getting my car fixed, they had an American flag shirt, and we were talking about all these issues. And we need to do that, but you and your talk show colleagues have such an opportunity. We all bellyache about what's happening to our children in the indoctrination, but how do we reverse it? We reverse it by engaging in the best ways we can. I always listen to Paul Harvey, Our Lives, Our Fortunes, Our Sacred Honor, which at my request a couple years ago, you actually played in its entirety on the air. We need to do that, I don't know, every day, but as often as possible to educate and undo the damage that has been done by the left since the 60s. And so I'm beseeching you, imploring you, challenging you, and everybody in the talk show business that has the capability of doing this in a much larger way. Because I don't want to get violent. I know you don't. But these other people, they see no problem with it. And we need to undo this as peacefully and as gracefully and as thoughtfully as we can. But we have to be effective. And we, like they, have to be relentless about it. And the movie that was just out, Todd, A Great Awakening, oh my gosh, if everybody could see that movie that's not crazy on the left, that would be a wonderful start. And there's two new productions out now. One's coming out Thursday, called The Story of Everything, which science is now pointing to the existence of God in a big way. And another production called Invisible Everywhere is you can download it or stream it or something. And that was the Lee Strobel story, who was a journalist trying to disprove God. Well, this is a scientist, PhDs from Cornell in math, physics, and astronomy, who ended up disproving his theory, which was he has his scientific approach that says there's a out there. So back to my challenge for you, sir, and all those in your position, can we please, and like the guy did.
Well, I'm trying to have a conversation with you, Little Beck. You've been talking for 3 minutes and you won't even come up for air and let me have a conversation with you.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to do that.
Well, and now it's too late. We're almost up for, so again, I hear what you're saying, but yeah, you, I think it is important to have a conversation. We try to have those conversations every day on this program. The liberals call in and they scream and yammer and holler. We call them seminar callers. They love to come in and they just holler, but they're really not interested in having a conversation. They just want to be heard. And I think that ultimately is the problem. So, I mean, look, we have a rule on this program. If somebody is disagrees with me, they go right to the top of the lineup and we put them on the air and we have those conversations. But again, I absolutely agree with you, and I do think it's about having conversations. Little Big Mouth, thank you for the call. But you got to be willing to have a conversation. You got to be willing to listen. Radio is all about time. We don't have a lot of it. We have to go to breaks. What do you want me to do? And we like you, Little Big Mouth. But again, it's we already do that on this program. And the liberals are not interested in debate. They want to shut you up and they want to destroy you. I mean, that's ultimately, that's the reality of the situation. Again, I posted a message last night and just asking the Democrats, please stop trying to shoot our president. Is that too hard to ask? Is that too far to go to ask the Democrats just to please stop shooting at our president? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us, and I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. The Queen of Talk Radio joins us, the great Mary Walter. Mary, always good to hear from you. All right, we'll try to get that worked out.
I'm here. That was me, sorry.
There you go.
I was actually voice texting you, so I turned my microphone off.
Oh, well, you see, that's what you get, Mary. You got to stay focused, Mary. This is radio. It's in real time.
Why start now?
Mary, we've got some breaking news to share with everybody, and this is coming out of the Justice Department.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stern Show.
And the New York Times, Mary, is reporting the Justice Department has secured a new indictment against James Comey, the former FBI director. Now, you might remember this, Mary. About a year ago, Comey was on vacation in North Carolina. He was strolling along the beach when he came across shells that had been arranged to convey a message that was interpreted. It said 8647, which was slang for kill Trump, is what that was. And Comey said at the time he had no idea what that language meant, and he went ahead and deleted his post. But now we're understanding from the New York Times that Comey has been indicted. I find it hard to believe, as the top law enforcement officer, he had no idea what that terminology meant.
Of course he knew what it meant. And he was like, I know they use it in restaurants when they don't want the hash or something like that. I was like, okay. No, that's not it. But they do use it in diners. But listen, out of all of the things that they could go after James Comey for, I personally, and I'm not a lawyer, but I personally think this is like one of the weakest ones. Like, why isn't he being indicted for perjury? That to me has more teeth in it. This to me seems kind of weak sauce and flimsy. I don't know if it goes anywhere. We'll have to see. But I would prefer to see him indicted on perjury or, treason.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I am glad, though, that they are cracking down, at least, on this rhetoric, this really dangerous rhetoric that's been directed at our president for almost a decade now. And it's just unacceptable. And Tommy, I don't know how many times, you go on social media and you've got some, they're always school teachers or the women with the purple hair, and they drive the Subarus and they're out there saying, I'm going to kill Trump, and nothing ever happens to these people.
Well, I think some of the low-hanging fruit, like those people get fired, that you see that quite a bit. There's a whole rash of those. Anytime something happens to Trump and they all get on there because they can't control themselves and they post their outrage that he got away again, that type of stuff. And it's also doctors and nurses. Like, it's crazy. And they lose their jobs, which is great. That's great that they lose their jobs or some kind of repercussion. But I would prefer to see that they get a visit from the FBI, all of them, every single one of them. I think that would be great. And because if they were Republicans who were saying stuff about like that about Joe Biden, they would have been thrown in jail and they would have been there for weeks and weeks and weeks without even being charged and would have been treated horribly. And it would have been in D.C. With maximum humiliation and punishment. So that's what I would like to see.
Mary, does it bother you that, again, you're right. There are doctors, there are nurses, bartenders, people who work in restaurants, and they've been threatening all these awful things. I've actually stopped eating. I used to eat out a whole lot. I prepare a lot of my meals at home now because I get a little worried that somebody might try to slip something into my meal or do something to my Dr. Pepper.
Well, such is the heavy that wears the crown, Todd. You know how that goes. It's tough being a celebrity. Between that and the people mobbing you for your autograph, you know, I can see where it's rough heading out. That being said, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. You know, nobody knows who I am, so it's fine. You know, I go out places, nobody has any clue. So I don't worry about that. And I think you also have to know where you're going as well. Like, I'm sure there are restaurants that you know darn well that everybody's on the same page. But isn't it sad that you have to think that way because these people are so crazy that they're so nuts and so unhinged? You know, and I saw someone post today that we're heading towards something very, very ugly here because the left has cultivated their people, the impressionable members of their base, to be filled with hate and filled with rage. And God forbid they take the midterms because it's going to be horrific here because they're going to go after Trump. They're going to go after every member of his cabinet. They're going to come after everybody who supported him. And this rage that these people have is not going to go away after Trump leaves. They're still going to hate everyone who voted for him. They're still going to hate everyone who flew a Trump flag. And they actually really hate. They actually, there's a lot of people were posting, like, I cannot believe what I heard some people saying at a party on Sunday, that they were actually sad that the shooter missed. And these are like normal suburban people. So the Democrats are playing a very dangerous game, and they're going to sit back and go, hey, we didn't do it. They're going to sit there, wash their hands. We were fine. We're totally innocent. What are you talking about? I don't know who these people are. I didn't say anything. So the Democrats are very smart and too cute by half with the way that they're playing this. But I think, I don't know how you unring this bell and how you make these crazy people less crazy.
Mary Walter joining us, a Newsmax contributor, and you can follow her on Facebook at Mary Walter Radio. Mary, Fat Larry's, that's the place I go where everybody is like-minded. Fat Larry's Barbecue.
See? So you got up a nice place, and that sounds like a great place to eat, by the way.
It's great. You know, if you ever make it to Memphis, Tennessee, we're going to bring you down. We're going to take you down to Fat Larry's.
Okay.
You'll be a star. Everybody will know who you are because they actually play Newsmax on the TV screens at Fat Larry's.
Oh, we love Fat Larry's.
It's great.
So what kind of food? Is it barbecue? What is it?
Yeah, it's a health food place, a vegan place. And I'm just kidding. I am shocked. They do have salad. I'm very surprised by that. But, you know, they've got great barbecue. The burgers are off the charts. And, of course, they got catfish and all the southern sides as well. It's just a great little place. And everybody, I think everybody in Bartlett, Tennessee, goes to Fat Larry's at least once or twice a week.
I would be Fat Mary if I did that. Once or twice a week.
Mary, speaking of royalty, as we discussed earlier, King Charles and Queen Camilla, is she the queen? Is she the full-blown queen now, or is she still that queen consort?
She should technically be the queen consort, but if I remember correctly, he chose to make her queen, not queen consort.
Okay. It's hard to figure all those folks out. Anyway, they're having the big state dinner tonight. And yesterday they got a tour of the White House beehive and had a little fancy, I guess, sandwiches and hot tea and all of that kind of good stuff. Are you a big Anglophile?
I wouldn't say I'm an Anglophile, but I do. I love watching it all. To me, it's just a British version of The Real Housewives in New Jersey. So I love the drama. And what girl does not love a good tiara? You know what I mean? So I enjoy following it, but that's about as far as it goes, I think. So I don't know if that makes me an Anglophile or not.
Well, I think a lot of people here, you know, if they have PBS, it's all those British period dramas, you know, Downton Abbey and all that kind of stuff.
Love Downton Abbey. Loved me some Downton Abbey.
I had no idea. So I guess you would technically be considered an Anglophile then.
I guess. My husband watched it too. We both loved it. We've seen the Downton Abbey movies. Loved the whole thing.
Mary, tonight you're going to be joining us. So they call it internally the ladies panel. We're trying to come up with a better name. I was thinking Todd's Hot Conservative Babes, Todd's Angels.
Todd's Hotsy Totsies.
Ooh, the Hotsy Totsies. I like that. That's got a nice ring.
That's never going to go anywhere.
We've got to get, we have come up with, and Mary, you're going to be joining us weekly. So we've actually come up with an official theme song for Mary Walter.
I love a good theme song. I know what this is.
How will you make it on your own?
How will you do that, Mary? How will you make it on your own?
This world is awfully big.
How about the part where they say who can turn the world on with her smile as opposed to how the hell are you going to make it on your own?
My question is, are you going to throw, you've got to throw a hat in the air. That's the problem. We should have alerted you to this beforehand, but we're just kind of calling it off. Yeah,
I'm not a hat girl. I don't look good in hats. I don't have a hat head. You know, some people look good in hats. Some people just don't. I do not look good in a hat. I actually have to wear like children's size baseball caps, so it's weird. it's weird.
I wouldn't have admitted that.
I love Mary Tyler Moore. For people who don't know, that's a Mary Tyler Moore show. Mary Tyler Moore. And wasn't that the one with Lou Grant?
Oh, yes.
And he told her, you're full of spunk. I hate spunk,
and,
something
and
like
Captain that. Steubing. Gavin McLeod was in that.
Oh,
he played,
yes.
Yeah, he played Murray.
And then Ted was... Ted Knight,
and Betty White played a really. She played the anti. She played the exact opposite character she was on The Golden Girls.
Right, she was the homemaker segment on the news. Right,
that's it. Yeah, she played the homemaker, but she was basically what's the biblical term? A little slutty. Betty White was.
I don't think that word's in the Bible.
I think it's in the book of Hezekiah.
She was tawdry.
Tawdry, yes. And then who was Georgette Engel? She played Ted Knight's girlfriend. And, you know, she was really...
Did your butt hurt from pulling that out of it? Oof, Georgette Engel. You're not going to know where your keys are, but that you remember.
I do. Mary, you weren't supposed to say anything about that. You know what's really funny about Georgette Engel on that show? She had that little meek, little like Minnie Mouse voice, and that was her actual real voice.
Was it?
That was her voice.
I didn't know that was her real voice. I had no idea. I mean, I wasn't that into it, like, but I did not know that was her real voice.
And you know what? We're going to call an audible here, but Georgette Engel also played an important role in another sitcom in the 1990s where she played... a mom. She played somebody's. She's played somebody's in-law on this '90s TV comedy. And if anybody knows, Mary, we're going to let people guess this. 901-260-5926. Okay. That's 901-260-5926.
Don't blurt it out, Mary.
No, don't see up. I will give you one clue. One of the other stars of this show, Patty Heaton. So. Hopefully that's
Patricia
not,
Heaton.
Yeah, don't say Mary. All right, we've got to take a break here. But Mary, we're going to see you tonight on Newsmax. You've been up since the crack of dawn, by the way. I saw you earlier on Newsmax.
It's been a very Newsmax day. I was on N1 on the morning show, and then I was on News Now on N2 like half an hour later. And now here, and then 5:40, I'm on with the wonderful K Smith Hill with you at 5:40 on N2. And then my live cast is tonight at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Rumble, YouTube, and Getter. Just look for Mary Walter Radio.
Gonna be a lot of fun. Gonna be a lot of fun. We're talking moxing and no mogging and looks maxing. Stop it, Dylan.
Yeah, I had to look some stuff up.
Yeah. It's okay. Just Google it.
It'll be confusing and fun.
All right. Mary Walter, great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day. Have a great week, everybody. It's only Tuesday. It feels like Thursday, but it's only Tuesday.
It is. All right. Mary Walter, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And again, Georgette Engel, she played on a very popular 90s sitcom. One of the co-stars, Patricia Heaton, and she played a mother-in-law on this show. Can you name the show? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phones. Robert in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. All right, Robert, we pulled an audible, a little trivia involving Georgette Engel, who starred on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but she was also featured in a 90s sitcom. Can you name that sitcom?
Yes, sir. Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, sir, that is correct. She played the mother-in-law to Robert Barone. So congratulations to you, Robert. And you know what we're going to do? Robert, I'm going to give you, it's going to be about 30 days. I'm going to give you an advanced copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, Robert, and we'll get all of your info. So don't go anywhere. Dylan, remember yesterday we were talking on, you know what, before we do that, let's go to Bex, who's listening to us in Gainesville, Georgia. She's been holding on a while. Bex, sorry about that. What's on your mind?
Todd, I'm a man, and it's not Bex, it's Dex with a D.
Dex, I'm terribly, well, my apologies, Dex.
Well, it ain't your fault, it's the lady that took down the information.
All right, well, Dex, what's going on?
Well, I don't get to listen to you every day, and I do listen to you from time to time, and I like a lot of the topics that you go over, and I was just listening earlier to the gentleman that takes surveys and asks people, you know, what they hate about America.
Well, he asked what they
love about America, and the ones that hate it, you know, he gets their input on why, and I've seen it quite a bit, you know, especially with celebrities, Taylor Swift, Whoopi Goldberg, Robert De Niro, you know, they all want to get huffy-puffy and want to leave the country. Well, a lot of things that I disagree with my tax money being used for in government, but that would be one thing that I would agree with and would have no problem with them using my tax money to anybody that hated America. That could give them a one-way ticket to any communist or Muslim country they choose and put them on a plane.
You know, Dex, I like that idea. I think that's a very noble and patriotic thing to do. And first of all, you're doing two things here. You're killing two birds with one stone, as they say. So first of all, you're helping someone who is unhappy find happiness in their life. And second, you're getting rid of a problem in America. I love this.
Absolutely.
Dex, thank you for calling in, and we sure do appreciate you listening to us. So, Dylan, we ordered from the Italian place, Pesci's.
Yes, we did.
And I have yet to eat lunch. I'm going to do that here in a minute. How was the meal? We were talking about it. It's a family-owned little Italian spot.
Yes, Todd. The gravy, as they say up north, was very good. I got the meatball sub, which you recommended to me, and it was, delicious.
Wow. All right. The rest of the staff, everybody got a full belly.
It seemed like everyone enjoyed the meal very, very well. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. So the owner sent me a text message, and he had heard us talking about him last Friday during the meatball episode. And he says that he listens to us while he cooks, and he loves the show. And he also said that his father was born in northern Italy, and they call it gravy in northern Italy. But in the south, in southern Italy, the Italians call it sauce. So there you go. And it makes sense because in the northern United States, it's gravy. And down here in Dixie, we call it sauce. I call it good eating, though. So, all right. Well, thank you for that. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We're going to be back on the radio tomorrow. So be sure to check out. We're going to have a great time. Get out there and be safe and be good, everybody.